Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Hi, everyone. Today is a really special episode because it's an interview episode. I got to chat with an incredible Montessorian. Her name is Becky Myers Pollock, and I actually met her because we're both in the Montessori at Home Facebook group, which I highly recommend you guys check out if you haven't checked it out yet. And we just got to chatting, and I asked her if she would like to come on the show, and she graciously accepted the invitation. So today we actually dove into how Montessori can help you find your new mom confidence. And truly, our conversation just felt so natural. It felt like I was just chatting with an old friend, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. She offers so much incredible information. So Becky is an AMI-trained guide for 3 to 6-year-olds. She spent 8 years in the classroom and then stepped out of the classroom and became the school's director of communications. She and her husband moved closer to family when Becky became pregnant, and she now stays at home raising her 8-month-old daughter. She also continues to work remotely part-time for the school that she was working at, and she also helps moderate the Montessori at Home Facebook group that I just mentioned. So before we jump into the conversation, I am going to read our quote for today, which is by the wonderful Magda Gerber. So she said, "We not only respect babies, we demonstrate our respect every time we interact with them. Respecting a child means treating even the youngest infant as a unique human being, not as an object." I love Magda Gerber. You guys may not know this, but in the 0-3 Montessori training, we referenced some of her work, and truly so much of it aligns so well, specifically the idea that the infant is capable, right? So from the beginning, they are a capable human deserving of respect, acknowledgement, and being treated that way from the beginning, because so often we kind of lug them around like, you know, are tiny but adorable, kind of like objects almost, right? So we'll just kind of pick them up and move them around and stuff. But this idea that, you know, they're capable and they're a full human kind of helps us reel that back in and connect with them a lot more, you know, let them know we're going to move them and, you know, talk to them about what's happening and stuff like that. So anyway, for a quick update over here, if you guys have been following me since the beginning, I've had this podcast for many years now, even before I became a mom. But embracing motherhood through the Montessori lens has been just the journey of a lifetime, and getting to know this sweet child is the honor of a lifetime. So I am having so much fun. He is a full-blown toddler now, and it has been nearly 2 years since his birth, and I am so having fun getting to know him and who he shows us he is. You know, toddlerhood is filled with these incredible moments of just explosive development, right? Like all of a sudden they have all these gross motor capabilities, problem solving, like, so he's really interested in all things electronic. And by electronic, I mean like the Instant Pot and like the air fryer. He's just really fascinated in how they function. And so he will move he has the Sprout Kids Toddler Tower, and he will move it over to be able to reach those things. And mind you, I've been getting him involved since he could stand on the toddler tower, but now I'm having to be very purposeful with the time when the toddler tower is available. So it has a new home now, so he does not have 24/7 access to the counter anymore, because realistically, all of the counter stuff is not fully safe for him. So we have to have very purposeful moments where he absolutely can be involved and access them. But yeah, he is loving figuring out how to get to them. So hence the problem solving that I just mentioned. Also, like I mentioned, the motor, he's so fast and just wanting all of the big movement all of the time. He's ascending and descending stairs, standing upright without any assistance, just holding the rail, you know, stuff where it's like, oh my gosh, this happened so fast. And yeah, he's, as per, you know, many toddlers, very practical, life driven, and loves being involved in that way. And I know that, you know, so many of you guys who are in the baby stage right now, you're setting up all of the tiny layers to their development that will aid in the stage that I'm in right now. So for example, things like development of concentration, their fine motor, their gross motor, communication, language, all of that is starting now. So you are laying an incredible foundation that is only going to support their toddler years at home and beyond. So anyway, just wanted to say that I think you're amazing, and we are going to go ahead and jump into this interview with Becky, where we chat all about finding your new mom confidence through Montessori. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Becky. I am so, so excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So can you tell us a bit about how you found Montessori, as well as your educational and professional history, and then what you currently do so our audience can get to know you a bit?
Yeah, so I went to college for elementary and early childhood education. And in one of my classes, we had the opportunity to do an observation at a Montessori school. And I'd heard of Montessori before, but didn't know anything about it. You know, I was just kind of curious, like, oh, this is, you know, a different opportunity. I'll go check that out. So I had signed up to do my observation there. And I knew that I wanted to be a teacher since I think I was in about second grade. But there had always been kind of something about like schools or education or teaching that just felt like a little bit off to me, but I could never put a, you know, a finger on it or like describe what I thought should be different. And I just remember walking into that school and like just immediately thinking, whatever it was that I, you know, kind of didn't like or didn't mesh with me about education, like this school fixed it. They figured it out. And, you know, the more that I kind of learned a little bit about Montessori, I actually ended up returning kind of on my own and doing another observation at that school, kind of, you know, befriended the guide that I was observing a little bit. And so I learned a little bit more about it. And it was in the back of my head, like, okay, I want to do this, but I didn't really know like what next steps to take. You know, I think there's a little bit, especially back then, that was, you know, 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of, I don't know, there's the different organizations, there's the different trainings. Like I kind of just wasn't sure. It can be a little bit mysterious, I think, sometimes when you're first trying to learn more about Montessori. But yeah, but a few years later, I had a friend who was doing her master's at Loyola University in Maryland. And she mentioned to me like, oh, I saw something about a master's in Montessori and you should check it out. So I looked it up. And sure enough, they had a program where you could get your training and then stick around for the summer and take a couple of classes and you'd have a master's. Mm-hmm. So I went to their little orientation to learn more. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Yeah. And my now husband, he was just my boyfriend at the time, but he moved with me. It was about like an hour and a half away from where we lived. So we moved to Maryland and I did my training. It was awesome. I loved that year. I think most people that you talk to that have done a Montessori training will say the same thing. Like it was just inspiring. It was so cool and an exciting time. Mm-hmm. So I did that training. I did primary, which is 3 to 6 year olds. And then when I graduated, got a job at a school in Northern Virginia. So I taught there as a primary guide for about, I think it was like 7.5 years. And then I transitioned into more of like an administrative office job there where I did communications. So I was like the director of communications. I did the website, newsletters, parent education, kind of all of those kinds of things. And I loved doing that too. It was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes being in the classroom can be a lot. And so it was a little bit like I wanted to step back. Still wanted to be involved in Montessori, but I just needed a little, you know, change of pace. And I think that role was really, it's amazing work. You know, I feel honored to have done it, but it takes all of you, right?
So 100%, I would take like hour long naps on my lunches.
Yeah, Yes. So it was cool to be able to like serve parents and families and children kind of in this different way. And I actually still work for that school. When I got pregnant, we moved away to be closer to family. So I do it remotely, just like a couple hours a week. I do some like writing for them and things like that. But yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I had no idea how closely our paths align. I also got my master's at Loyola.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I did their post-diploma program. So I was in the classroom for some years, and I had gotten my training before I got my bachelor's. And
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I had to get like some letters of referral and something, but they ended up letting me in. Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't do the partnered master's program because I didn't have my bachelor's.
Right.
You know, so, But then I saw Loyola had this post-diploma, so I jumped into that. Yeah, Loyola is beautiful. So cool you went there. And that's just incredible that you kept such a good relationship with your school and you're supporting parents in that way. And I totally understand. I fell in love with that part too. So.
Yeah. I feel very lucky. The school that I work for has been really supportive. My husband and I had to do IVF to get pregnant with our baby. So that was actually when I stepped out of the classroom, because that process, I'm not going to get into all of that, but it's intense. Yeah. It involves a lot of appointments, a lot of different things going on. So it was awesome of them, you know, to be like, we can, you know, put you in this other role and you can still be here and be a part of our school community and all of that. So yeah,
that's amazing. Great. Well, I am so excited to dive into our conversation, because you are a full-blown Montessorian and a new mama. And so I would love for you to share how, you know, having a background in Montessori has supported your motherhood journey.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so lucky to have the knowledge and the experience from Montessori entering motherhood. I think, you know, I see friends and family members, you know, just there's so much information out there, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of get bombarded from all these different opinions, or you doubt yourself, you know, if you're kind of feeling these instincts or whatnot. And I think having that background, human development, sort of that trust in the child and in nature, I think was so valuable. I feel like I entered motherhood like feeling very confident and like I had the tools that I needed. And I think a lot of women don't. And it's, you know, that's a hard place to start from if you're already kind of feeling rocky or uncertain. So again, I feel very lucky that I had that background knowledge. But I think, you know, understanding human development just period is an awesome tool as a parent to have. And then Montessori, you know, the focus on observing, knowing that the role of the adult is to support the child, those kinds of key points, I think, again, also sort of almost make parenthood, I don't want to say easier, because that's maybe belittling the work and whatnot that it takes, but I think it simplifies it.
Maybe I get what you're saying for sure.
It helps to kind of simplify, and knowing about the absorbent mind that, you know, children in that first plane of development before age six just kind of take in their environment. So knowing the power of that as well, I think is helpful, that, you know, babies and young children will find a way to get their needs met and to, you know, follow their natural development. And it's kind of our job to just see it and support it rather than getting in the way. Like, okay, get out of the way, let them kind of do what they need to do. I think also having the philosophy to point to if people are kind of questioning your parenting choices, things like that, you know, you have this whole teaching philosophy, the research that's been done with it, all of that, to kind of be like, well, you know, I can share this with you, and this is why I made this choice. And I don't think parents should feel like they need to explain their choices, but having that is nice, right?
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Be able to be like, oh, well, this is why.
Yeah. Especially when it's like your parents or like close family. Totally helpful.
And again, I think it's helpful in that example. My mom and my sister, when I was pregnant, got the Montessori baby book. I got it as well, but
yeah,
it was cool.
One.
Like they have, and they have like that as a resource, right? Like to understand kind of where we were going to be coming from on certain things and, and whatnot. So yeah, exactly. It's kind of helpful for family and friends and things to be able to share why you're doing some things that are maybe a little counter what's in popular culture.
Well, that's amazing. I absolutely align with everything that you said. I feel like, you know, in my experience too, just the in supporting parents having even just the basic understanding of what's going on in infant development and then toddler development and then young child development, it's like it's just this power tool that you have. It offers you confidence because you know what to expect, and then aligning with the Montessori pedagogy, like you said, like the observation, it allows you to follow the child. Like it just all intertwines so beautifully. So wonderful.
And I think something you said made me think of how when you have like a challenge, either something in a behavior or whatnot, knowing the why behind it, I think can be really helpful in changing your mindset. You know, if your baby or your toddler is doing something and you're like, oh, why are they doing that? Like, it must be something I'm doing wrong, or like, there's something wrong with my child, or whatever kind of negative thoughts you might be having about that behavior or whatever it is. I think when you're able to learn, oh, that's normal, or oh, it's happening because XYZ, it can both allow you to just kind of feel better about it, but then that also points to different tools you can use to get through it, or just knowing that it is a phase and it will pass. And maybe there's even a benefit to it, right? Like if they've hit this challenge head on, you know, it'll help them develop a new skill or whatnot.
Absolutely.
I think that's really helpful.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like there's points too where you, if you didn't fully understand kind of what was happening, you might think like, oh, they're doing this like to me, or they're testing me, or they're looking at me and throwing the food off the high chair, or, you know, they're checking the wooden material against the wall. Why? You know?
Because we take things personally, right? Like it's like, they're being mean to me, or they're disobeying me, or, you know, whatever it might be. And you come to find out, oh, maybe they're actually just learning about cause and effect, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a lot less of this battle that I was having in my head with my child. It's something else entirely. Yeah,
totally. So as a new mama and an experienced Montessorian, would you mind offering guidance on what you think parents actually need for infancy? Because, you know, there's a lot of info out there, as you already explained. And so, yeah, what are your must-have items?
I feel like this is both a difficult question and a very easy question to answer, because I think you have like, okay, what do you need? Well, you probably just need like diapers and, you know, somewhere safe for the baby to sleep. That's like kind of it, right? But obviously most people are going to take it at least a step or two further than that. And if we're looking at this from like a Montessori perspective, I think the things that I found really helpful, first thinking about the fact that pretty much all your baby wants at 24/7 for those first few weeks, months, year is you, right? Like they want to be close to you. They want to be laying on you. If you're nursing, they're nursing from you, all of those things. And sort of taking that mindset, I think, can help you prepare in maybe not purchasing things ways, but like, okay, how can I get support that I need to be able to make that happen and feel like, you know, I have food to eat, or like the house isn't falling in shambles. So I think thinking through that, the support, what you can kind of build ahead of time is probably like number one, what you need, right? Some sort of support system or what have you, preparations ahead of time. But then aside from that, I think having like a safe space, ideally on the floor, where your child can have that freedom of movement. I know, I'm sure you talk about that a lot with infants and whatnot, but I think, you know, as a new newborn, that's not going to look like too much, but starting it right from the start, I think is even for our own benefit as parents, like it's a good habit to get into. So having something like that ready, it could just be a blanket on the floor. I used the Tappuccino, which I'll get back to a lot for that in the early days. It could be a little cushion on the floor, whatever it might be. And I also had a space where we used the Montessori visual mobiles. So that was something that I had a lot of fun. I made a few of them. I bought a few of them.
Good for you.
But that was, again, kind of like a fun thing to like follow the progression of. So I think that's a great first kind of material for parents to look into. Also just like black and white picture cards and things like that are fun and help build baby's eyesight and whatnot, concentration. I loved having, and I still daily use carriers to baby wear. I think that can be really helpful. You can, you know, get up and move around and do things, but baby is able to be with you, so they might sleep better or feel more comfortable. You can go for walks, things like that. And then the tappuccino that I mentioned, we loved that. I always laugh. My husband didn't really realize that like a tappuccino, which maybe I should describe what it is in case people don't know. It's essentially like a little thin cushion, I guess you could say, that you can use particularly with newborns to help, you know, you're supposed to kind of sleep with it before baby comes. So it smells like mom. So it's sort of a comfort item for them. It can help when people come to visit and meet your baby, they can hold them in the tappuccino. So they, you know, smell mom, they feel more comfortable. They're not like changing temperatures and fabrics and all of these things if you're passing baby around. Like I mentioned, I used it to set her down on the floor sometimes. And yeah, it was like super helpful. I still sometimes like use it for some more things. But anyway, my husband didn't know that like a tappuccino is not just a, everybody has one. You know, most people don't know what that is, at least in the United States. And so whenever we'd be out somewhere, he'd be like, oh, the tappuccino. And people would be like, the top of what? Like, what are you talking about? And he'd be like, oh, you know, the tappuccino. Or like whenever anyone we know has a baby now, he's like, we should get them a tappuccino. Like, it's the best. He loved it.
It is the best.
He still uses it. If he's putting our daughter down for a nap, he like rocks her in that. And so it's so cute. So, I think that those are kind of the top like newborn Montessori things that I think parents should at least look into whether or not it's something they would like to use.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with literally everything you mentioned. they really just want you, and those Montessori pieces are just gold. They're so beautiful. They like perfectly align with what they're working on in their development at that point. It's just so magical. So thank you for sharing those. So when we first started chatting, you mentioned that you're doing Montessori in a relatively small home. And I totally feel you on that. and, you know, often on social media, we see really beautiful but elaborate Montessori spaces. And so for some of the parents in our podcast community who do have smaller homes as well, what do you think are some of the benefits of doing Montessori in a smaller space?
If you're a new parent hoping to implement Montessori at home, you may be surprised to know that you will be spending the majority of your days fostering independence with your baby. Yes, even more than the Montessori toys, materials, activities, and furniture that you see on social media. And fostering independence is the easiest and quickest way to transform your parenting experience, bringing peace to your parenting as you optimize your baby's growth during their most crucial years of development. Plus, fostering independence is the most misunderstood Montessori concept for babies. That is why I am teaching my Montessori workshop on fostering independence from infancy to toddlerhood. In this 30-minute workshop, you will learn what it truly means to foster independence the Montessori way, plus you'll get the exact steps on how to foster independence with our non-mobile babies, our sitting, slithering, crawling, and cruising babies, and our young toddlers. This workshop is usually $9, but because my goal is to support you as much as possible, I am gifting it to you totally free. So if you're ready to transform both your experience and baby's experience during their most crucial time in their developmental journey, click the free workshop link in the show notes. And now back to our show.
I think Montessori is like perfect for small spaces, small homes. And I think, like you just said, it's kind of counter what we maybe see in the mainstream when people are, you know, talking about Montessori. I think a lot of people think they have to essentially like create a Montessori classroom in their house and things like that. But I think it works so well in a small space. You know, the thought of kind of less is more, keeping things decluttered, some of those kind of like orderly, everything has its place, those mm-hmm. sort of key parts to especially the early childhood part of Montessori are great in a small space, right? Okay, I don't have to have packed space full of a million toys. I can just put out a couple at a time and it doesn't take over our whole house. And then like involving children in just the work of the home, home life is like the top way to do Montessori at home, really, mm-hmm. right? It's involving them just in what you're doing every day, all day. So that in and of itself
is
so again, like you don't need all of this stuff. They don't need all of this extra space that's, oh, that's, you know, only for the children over there and this is only for the adults over here. You're kind of building them into your life at home. So, you know, looking at your house and thinking, okay, this home is for adults and it's for children. And what can we do to make sure everybody, you know, is able to participate, is able to have accessible space in each of these rooms? So maybe a step stool in the kitchen is all you need, right? Maybe a couple child-sized kitchen tools. And there you go. Like, that's a Montessori kitchen. and like you said, it's cool to have, I know it's popular to have like the functional kitchen, play kitchens and things like that. And those are cool, but that's not necessary. If you have the space and the capacity to either have a little low table, even the floor or what we call chowkies, but you can make one out of, you know, those little like food trays or things like that, lap trays, and your child can help with food preparation on that. Or if you have a learning tower or a step stool and they can come up to the counter with you, you know, in a Montessori classroom, in my classroom, I never had a full-blown kitchen that was child size. They would have trays on the shelf of food prep work and they would just bring it to a table, you know, maybe right. So, you know, if we don't need it in the classroom, you don't have to have that at home either, right? to kind of make it work. And so I think if parents realize they don't have to make a whole classroom mm-hmm. at home, and it really is just about bringing them into your life and your day, I think it becomes clear that like, oh yeah, this is doable in a small space. I can make this work. And maybe it's even an ideal scenario that I've found this, you know, philosophy or this way of parenting, and I live in a small home. So yeah, I think just thinking of your spaces and how they can work for everyone in your family is kind of the best approach, especially if you have a small home, but any size home, and making those spaces Montessori.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I have had quite a few conversations with podcast listeners, you know, and a lot of them want to do a lot of the stuff that they see on social media, but I love getting to kind of be the one that's like, don't worry, it's all
you don't have to.
Yeah. You can get the same type of situation in your home. You just need the principles. That's it.
Right. And I think that that's like freeing, right? Because I think a lot of parents, they love this, you know, what they hear about this philosophy and this way of being with children, mm-hmm. but it's easier to see the stuff, right? And to be like, okay, all I need to do is buy X, Y, Z. And now everything will be fixed and, you know, everything will be perfect. And maybe this is actually more challenging, but it really comes down to, it's more about you, right? And the work of the adult, like how you are going to see things, how you're going to approach scenarios with your child, opportunities you're going to provide for them. And so, you know, the stuff is very secondary. I feel like that's kind of a second tangent.
Well, thank you. So you are a primary guide. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing if you plan on guiding your baby through their primary years at home, or are you looking into a primary environment?
Yeah. So our plan is for her to go to a local Montessori school for primary. So once she turns 3, she'd be, you know, heading there. Before that, I don't plan on doing really any formal like schooling or anything like that at home, just what we've sort of been talking about, involving her in the home life, playing, those kinds of things. So yeah, when she gets to primary, the goal is that she's going to go to school. And I think it's an interesting kind of phenomena right now, maybe, that it seems like Montessori, you know, on the internet and whatnot, seems to be like falling into a homeschooling category, which is just an interesting thing to observe. Yeah, it's just interesting because, I mean, I think it can be doable and it's probably a positive thing, especially if you don't have Montessori schools in the area, but you're really passionate about, you know, that method of education. But I think that there's a lot of challenges, honestly, to doing Montessori at home, at least for, you know, I think maybe you could speak more to this, but for toddlers and infants, a lot of it is things that you are going to do at home, kind of, right?
Yeah, it's very practical, life-driven.
Right. Yeah. But once you get into, especially like 4 or 5 years old and then into elementary and you get into the academics, there's just a lot to it that I think as somebody who's trained, I would find challenging to do if I was just home with my one child. So it's just interesting. I think I just wanted to share that in case there were parents that were looking to do Montessori homeschool and felt really overwhelmed or were hitting a lot of, you know, roadblocks or confused about things, because I think it is challenging. There's so much, every detail of a Montessori classroom is thought out and very purposeful. So things like having large classes, a Montessori class for primary, Maria Montessori spoke about having like 40 children in her class. I don't think you'll find that today. But I had a class for a year of 32 children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a big class. And there's a lot of purpose behind that. And part of it is, you know, something that's very different about the way that a guide works in a Montessori classroom is children aren't getting new lessons every day, each individual child, or even every week. You know, sometimes a child will go days between receiving a new lesson. And that's because repetition is such a big part of what we do. And we want to kind of step back and let them make those discoveries. They're supposed to be kind of doing their own learning. So if you have a large class, that becomes a lot easier because the guide is busy. You know, you have 32 children to get through. So even if they're each, you know, only getting a new lesson every couple of days, that's still taking up your whole day, right? But if you're at home and you have 1, 2, 3 children, it's hard not to kind of intervene and be like, oh, I want to show you the next thing. Ooh, I want to show you the next thing. You get really excited and eager. I remember my trainer saying, if you have a small class or you have a lot of children absent that day or something, to literally sit down and sit on your hands. But her point was like, don't jump in there just because there's, you know, fewer children and more opportunity to do so. You really do want to kind of step back and let the children take off on their own. But that's kind of one example of something that I think is challenging. You're doing homeschool just because you, like I said, you get like excited. You want to jump into the new thing. But that's kind of, you know, counter how the materials are supposed to work.
There's a Montessori quote, which I'm totally going to butcher. I'm so sorry. But it's about something like when the children are working as though you didn't exist, you've done
yes.
it or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, yes. I'm going to get it wrong too, but it's something about like that the classroom should run as though you don't exist or something like that. That's like the goal. The goal is that you shouldn't even notice there's an adult there, right? Yeah. That the children are just able to carry on and run the environment as though there's, you know, not needing the direction from an adult all the time.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because you're right. I've seen that a lot too. It's becoming more of like a trend, I think, you know, the Montessori homeschooling approach. And I think, you know, having right. this perspective of how it can have its own challenges in itself, you know, so be equally exciting and beautiful is, you know, really helpful. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Well, and I've even seen a few, you know, in the comments of like an Instagram reel, things like that, parents not even realizing that Montessori schools are a thing, like that they have only seen it on social media and whatnot as homeschooling. Mm. And so again, I think it's kind of like it's a trend right now. Some parents just might not be aware that they might be able to find a school local to them where their child could go. And
well, thank you. Yeah, I know. I having worked in the school setting for a lot of years as well myself, like, and knowing I'm not primary trained, but having observed in the primary trained space, it is so intricately beautiful. And there's so many, you know, different areas and there's a lot that comes from, you know, the children all working side by side too. And mm-hmm. in the group time. And there's just like a lot of pieces to it that I wouldn't know how to describe, but that I think is so beautiful.
Yes. Well, I mean, a huge part of the idea of the multi-age classes, which is again another like key part of a Montessori classroom. I mean, there's so many benefits to that, but part of it is that they're seeing each other doing different work, right? So younger children see an older child working with the golden beads, or, you know, which is a math material, and they're like, whoa, that's so cool. One day I'm going to get to do that. And it inspires them to, you know, practice whatever it is they're doing at that point in time. And then it's always like so cool as a teacher to see that day when they actually get that lesson and they're like, whoa, it's my turn. Like, I get to use this now. And then on the flip side, you know, the older children are getting to practice and feel like leaders, which I think is, you know, an important skill to gain, especially if you're, you know, a younger child in your family and you don't have that opportunity to kind of teach a younger child or help somebody with something that they might not know. So, you know, they get this full circle kind of experience, and, you know, that's missing. If you're, you have to, the parent kind of has to become this person who's going to model, you know, working with certain materials to try to inspire the child to want to do them, or, you know, some of the language components that you might have to work harder to model yourself or demonstrate or create opportunities for that would just kind of naturally be happening if they were in a classroom with different age children.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that even now, like that my son's in a toddler, you know, similarly, you know, we had mixed age spaces. And so the classroom that I taught for the longest period of time was infant young toddler. So we went up to 18 months. We were licensed till two if they needed to be, but till 18 months. And when they got to be like 15 to 18 months, they would like want to help feed the babies. They would want to help like wipe the tables after, you know, just these little pieces that come from the classroom space. And mind you, I'm getting my son involved in all sorts of ways at home and, you know, being really creative and in the ways. And I think that it's so beautiful that I get to spend this time with him, you know, but it's true, just like you do have to be kind of more conscious about like your language, your sports casting, the modeling. I had a block set that just kind of sat there for a while. So what I did at one time was just kind of sat next to it myself. He was doing something else and I just started building, you know, and I was building it up, 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 up. And so then he came over and now he's doing it all the time, you know, so just kind of that.
Yeah, I know there was a year where I didn't have very many. So the primary classroom includes like kindergarten year, but oftentimes people will sort of pull their child out if they're going to be going somewhere else for elementary school. And so when that happens, it's kind of a negative to the rest of the class, honestly, because they don't get those children that kind of have that culminating, again, like leadership skill level. And so I was having to be that for the, you know, the 4 and 5 year olds that were coming up. And like you said, like I would have to pull out a material and start working with it to kind of get them to be like, oh yeah, that is kind of cool. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Whereas again, you wouldn't, it's like less work for you if you have a 6-year-old who's actually just doing that.
Totally. It's fun though. We get to channel our inner child.
Yes, it is fun. There would be days where I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to get out metal insets just because I want to. And start working with that.
So the majority of our listeners are new parents, and we do have caregivers and educators who are working with infants and young toddlers as well. And so being a new mama and a Montessorian, do you have a great piece of advice that you've learned that might help another mama or guide out there?
Yeah, I think as a mom, like my number one piece of advice or thing that I've kind of come to realize is how powerful our instincts are and to kind of let yourself follow them. You know, I think we, especially as moms, but as dads, as, you know, people who are close to babies and young children in our lives, that you know what's best for them. And I think we can always feel it. And it's whether or not we choose to kind of follow our gut or fight against it that, you know, can make scenarios more difficult or easier. So I think, you know, empowering yourself to be like, I'm going to follow, you know, that I have this feeling, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, a little thing, a big thing, just to let yourself kind of follow those instincts, I think can be really powerful. especially as a new parent, when you might be kind of questioning your instincts a little bit. Just know that, you know yourself and your family and your baby the best. And
thank you. That's amazing advice. I feel so strongly that every mama is the perfect mama for their baby, you know?
Yeah. And
so thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
So lastly, for a quick rapid fire question, what is your current favorite Montessori quote?
Yeah. So I love the way that Dr. Montessori speaks about children and nature. And, you know, I feel like I'm always coming back to some of them as inspiration for getting my baby outside and you know, interacting with kind of the natural world, the sensory opportunities. That's a big fad, I feel like, right now, is kind of like these sensory boxes and things. But, you know, just putting your baby down in the grass is okay. A great free option. Yeah. No mess that you're cleaning up in your living room. But anyway, so there's one that I come back to a lot. It's a little bit long, but I pulled it up here. And it goes, let the children be free, encourage them, let them run outside when it's raining, let them remove their shoes when they find a puddle of water. And when the grass of the meadows is damp with dew, let them run on it and trample it with their bare feet. Let them rest peacefully when a tree invites them to sleep beneath its shade. Let them shout and laugh when the sun wakes them in the morning, as it wakes every living creature that divides its day between waking and sleeping. Yeah, I love that quote.
So good. I remember when I got my training, my trainer had mentioned that trees are nature's mobiles.
Yeah.
So, you know, like laying your baby under trees, another free way.
It sounds like beautiful and you know, and it is. And it's kind of this very almost spiritual like way of thinking, but it's also free.
Yeah. We love simplifying early motherhood. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Becky, for sharing all of these incredible points and facts. I'm so, so honored that you came on the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is great.
And that was our conversation with Becky. I hope you enjoyed it and found, you know, a bunch of tips and tricks to find your new mom confidence as well through Montessori. I will have all of her resources linked below. She has an amazing Instagram, and you also can find her in the Montessori at Home Facebook group. If you post in there, she's often very active and will give you tips and feedback as well in the group. You can find all of that info below. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so honored to have you in our community and am thankful to be journeying alongside you in this Montessori motherhood wild journey. So anyway, thanks so much again, and I will catch you in our next episode. Bye. Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of our Montessori Babies podcast. If you found this episode helpful, I would absolutely love if you would screenshot this episode and share it in your stories and tag me at Baby Tour Guide. Also, leaving a review is really helpful in helping other parents and caregivers find our show. Dr. Montessori said, "The greatness of the human personality begins at the hour of birth," and you, as their parent and guide or caregiver, are just the perfect person for that job. I'm so, so honored to be even a small part on your journey. And just remember that we're in this together.